verse 10. This world, it's filled with voices trying to speak things into our lives. I mean, even tonight or today or whenever it was, there was an opportunity. If you were a company, you could buy a time slot on the Super Bowl for millions of dollars for a few seconds, because there's an audience that you can speak to, because this is an opportunity for you to speak into their lives something. In fact, it's become a competition of marketing campaigns and companies, who's able to engineer the best message that really gets inside of you, that catches your attention, that causes you to think or feel something different. They've engineered these things to get inside of us. So many voices. 1 Corinthians 14 and 10 says, it confirms this fact, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance or signification. It doesn't seem like that little 30-second clip on the Super Bowl ad has any real significance, but every voice has some significance. Amen. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 16, knowing now that there's so many voices, God has equipped us and instructed us that we need to become proficient in discerning the good voices from the bad. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." It's talking to church-going folks. If the church-going folks don't obey the word of God, we're to part ways, because there's voices that want to speak into our lives, and even those of other Christians disobedient to the word of God that want us to cause. God says to avoid them, for they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive hearts that are simple. Voices that want to speak things into our lives. And here's where our part comes in verse 19. For your obedience, through our obedience, is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Amen. Through our obedience, God makes us understanding. Amen. Through our willingness to conform to the word of God, we can actually discern good versus evil. Amen. And likewise, the contrary is true. Disobedience will leave you confused, unable to discern good from evil. If we ever knowingly allow sin into our life, our ability to discern what's right or wrong goes completely away. But if you'll stay close to God, if you'll pray, if you'll communicate, if you'll be committed to that relationship, to read the word, to be faithful to service, you will naturally grow an ability greater and greater to discern good versus evil. And tonight it's my desire that God would allow all of us to be better equipped to discern good from evil, because there's so many voices out there. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we've heard your voice speak to us, even here today. Your word speaks to us. But God, I pray that your spirit would continue to speak to us, our hearts and our minds, God, that you would affirm your word, that you would instill in our hearts and equip us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." As God imparts his spirit to us, he starts to impart knowledge and understanding to us as well. Amen. And the longer we stay in this relationship with God, the greater our knowledge and understanding will become. Amen. It's a natural cause and effect of this relationship. Right. But at the same time, there's a spirit in this world that's contrary to God, and its end is destruction. And the Spirit can personify itself in of this world in so many ways and forms, and some are quite obvious, but others are harder to detect. Do you remember when God opened up your eyes to this revelation of who Jesus was and the power and the presence and the reality of there's a Holy Ghost that wants to live and manifest itself inside of you? And as soon as God moved in, do you remember how he started to remodel this house? And there were some things that were just so obvious all of a sudden, where for years, a lifetime up to that point, there was no issue with that thing. But suddenly, all of a sudden, the next day, it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. And as time goes on, God moves on to some less obvious things in our lives. Areas in our life, he starts remodeling, working kind of under the surface, things deep in our hearts. But that just comes as part of the maturing process, and it doesn't ever stop. God doesn't have a plateau in our conversion. It's just an ongoing thing because he's helping us become more like him. And since he is this perfect God, we have such a long, 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 long ways to go. There is no end to this conversion process. And if I look back at my own last 21 years, there's some periods of slow ramp, slow growth, and other periods where it's a steep ramp and steep growth and everything in between. And so there isn't a single way in which we are converted and have this transformation process or the speed at which it takes place, but there are some high tides and some low tides. And the spirit of this world knows that the longer you serve God, the less chance that spirit has to convert you back to the world you came from. And it's not a coincidence that the spirit of this world goes after those newborn saints, because the Bible says as we grow and mature in Christ, our ability to discern good and evil grows too. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. I don't know what the exact amount of time is, because everyone's conversion process is a little bit different. Some take big steps quickly, and some take shorter steps slowly, and it's all according to the will of God. But at some point in that journey, in some point in that process, there's a foundation that gets more and more solid to the point where they become less at risk of the spirit of this world. It's a maturing process. And Hebrews 5 and 12 speaks to that. It says, for the time you ought to be teachers, but now, so you should have matured to the point where now you can start to teach others, but ye have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's a process. We start all of us start off as new babes, and the most we can handle is milk. And as we grow, as we mature, we can take more solid foods and all the way up to strong meat, the Bible says. But at times we may actually take a few steps backward and have to go back to milk again until we can build up that strength or that connection with God again, where we can have the strong meat. But it's God's will that we mature and strengthen, and as we do, we should be ever able to better discern good versus evil. Amen. If you're here tonight, I believe it's because you're at a place where God is wanting to give you some strong meat. We're all in the same process, but at different places in our walk with God. Amen. And he's given us this gift, this ability to discern. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that the Holy Ghost, it provides access to gifts. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person for their benefit, for their profit. And one of those benefits is this ability to discern good from evil, the ability to separate good voices from bad voices. And as we read earlier, there are many voices, and none of them are insignificant. And so God has entrusted us, and he's equipped us to discern the good versus the bad of all the voices in this world. So why is it important? Why should we have to or need to, or why should we reach for ever higher levels of discernment? Well, number one, it's for our well-being and our safety. Remember, there's many voices and they all have some significance, and honestly, most of them aren't good. The voice of evil is far more frequent in this world. I mean, you might compare it to the ratio of good of evil and voices to the ratio of saved versus lost. This world is full of many more people who don't have an understanding of who the one true God is and what the plan of salvation is and the free gift of salvation that God has paid the price for them. But the ratio of those that have that understanding is much smaller, and so the good voices in this world are much fewer than those that are evil. So it's critical that every one of us mature to a level of discernment that will help to protect us, to guard our hearts from the spirit of this world. So number one reason is this ability to discern good from evil for our own survival, to avoid a world that's so corrupt. But the second reason to develop this ability to discern is essential because it's that same ability that enables us to move in obedience to the Spirit of God working within us. See, God can't direct someone who isn't able to discern his voice from the voices of this world or the voices within us. And as we approach the end of this dispensation in time, God is ever more wanting to demonstrate the supernatural to us and through us to a world that's all around us. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like the voices in this world, especially as they start to think about prophecy, are so much louder than they've ever been before. Trying to discern what's happening and what's coming next and predicting this month or that month or this day. Well, let me tell you, if a voice tells you what day the Lord is coming back, that's the day the Lord is not coming back. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've just taken that one off the calendar.
Right.
That doesn't stop them from trying to predict or forecast. Now, the Bible says when you see these signs, look up.
Right.
Yeah. So look up, church. The signs are here. The time is near. This isn't a time to mess around or think about church. This is a time to be the church.
Yes. Yes.
But if we start looking for more information, we're going to find a bunch of voices trying to feed us information that isn't from God. Because no man knows the day or the hour. We read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that God has given us the Holy Ghost, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us, because the Holy Ghost teaches us things that can't be learned from man's wisdom, which will be evident in the believer who is now able to differentiate spiritual things, able to discern good from evil. Let me read that to you once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now ye have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual to spiritual." This spirit of the world can personify itself in so many forms that we encounter on an everyday basis. Now, it's not God's will that you become frightened of the spirit of the world. The spirit of fear, it's not of God. It is, in fact, the spirit of fear is of this world. But tonight, as mature Christians, able to handle strong meat, we need to be alert that we're on a battlefield, and we need to seek or be able to discern good versus evil in our everyday lives. Not to fear evil, but to fight it, to recognize it, to call it out, to exercise authority over it that God has given us. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And I shared a practical application of this ability to discern with the youth probably almost a year ago as I spoke to them about discerning the spirit that's in music. In that lesson, some of them were here or were there, are here tonight, I'm sure. I played for them a few short clips from different music genres. For each genre, I played one that was labeled Christian and one that was not. And I asked them to, by a show of hands or I think standing, vote for which one they thought was the Christian version of that music genre. Well, needless to say, there was no easy way to tell, because you couldn't tell the difference between the Christian versus the non-Christian according to the way the world labeled that music. They both had the same spirit. Maybe the words of one had a few things having to do with God or something good, but the spirit that was attached to those words was not of God. There was no way to differentiate. In fact, as I started to research that message in particular, I was so grieved in my heart that so much of the world's spirit had been labeled something else. You know, if you let that music in and that spirit grow in your heart, because it was labeled Christian, all it does is give you more hunger for the version that isn't labeled Christian, because there really is no difference between them. I don't remember if I shared the story with them that night, but I've said it here before. It's my relationship with reggae music. I think I've probably shared it once before. This goes way back. It's an old relationship with reggae music. Before church, before God. That was just, I loved the island songs, the tune, the melodies, the I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. And you can imagine everything that goes with that genre of music. That was me before God. And so as I came into the church, you know, that transformation takes place, and you let go of all these things. And I know that music was one of the things I let go pretty quickly of. And I picked up all the things that I never listened to before. And that was all I ever played. But as time went on, you know, we mature and we get more sophisticated. And I was always looking for Christian reggae, you know, like every other flavor of Christian music. I never quite found it. There's a few out there, but I ended up just probably going back to some of my old collection. Especially in the summertime. I don't know why, but summertime had this thing that I would just, and when we went on camping trips especially, so I don't even know, there was this something that happened there. And so sitting by the fire, listening to the reggae music, I realized, or at the time I didn't realize it, but there was something that was creeping back into my life. It was very subtle. I didn't stop loving God. I didn't stop going to church. I didn't stop living a life that was separated from God. But there was something that was creeping back in ever so subtly. And I remember starting to have feelings and thoughts and desires from that old life that I had left so long ago. And I didn't know why or where they were coming from, because it felt like they had left me at one point. They had. And as I prayed about this to God and I asked him for help, He pointed to this spirit, this voice that I had let start to speak back into my life ever so subtly in small quantities every once in a while. It wasn't so harmless. It actually came with a whole lot of baggage. There's so many voices and so many things attached to those voices, and most of them in this world are not good. Now, even 21 years later, here I am standing before you tonight. And let me just tell you, any time I get low on the Holy Ghost, there's an appetite inside me for the world's music that starts to come back that wasn't there a moment ago. Because the music of this world comes with a spirit. It's the spirit of this world. Yes. And if you have the spirit of God, it opposes the spirit of this world, and the two don't mix. Right. But any time we get low on the Holy Ghost, if we let our relationship with God wane, if we get lax in our prayer life, if we aren't faithful to church, my appetite will come right back from where it was. I don't have to stop loving God and stop going to church to have those things start to come back into. It's the spirit of this world. It's the voices. If you've been struggling, and the pull of this world is starting to show up in places that you hadn't had or haven't had for a long time, take a look at what you're listening to and test the spirits. I challenged the young people that night on Wednesday night to cut themselves off from that genre or that category or whatever it was that appealed to them for 30 days and see what God would replace it with. You know, your flesh won't like giving up what it once had, but if you'll give it enough time, it'll stop, it'll lose its appetite. You know, it's easy to identify more obvious evils that are out there, like there's a murderer, there's a drug dealer, and you know, we wouldn't let those things into our lives, but it's the less obvious evils that we're more likely to be tripped up by. And so that's why we have to grow our ability to discern good from evil, because evil can be so sneaky. Another example I just encountered this past week was the voice that speaks into our lives through entertainment that we watch. Now, I'm willing to risk my reputation just a little bit here in order to speak to this example, because as a personal practice, I don't watch TV, or I rarely watch any movie. But on Monday, I was on an airplane ride to Los Angeles for 4 hours, and they had the little movie screen in the seat, and 4 hours is a long time to sit in a seat. And I want you to know, it was a rated PG-13 movie, so we're still on the, you know, not so bad list. But I watched it anyways, and it wasn't filled with curse words, and it wasn't filled with graphic images or sexual innuendos. In fact, it was marketed more as an action adventure for young audiences. But then after we landed the next day, or actually when I got back, I was at home sitting at my workbench, and I found myself thinking about this story, like just this repetitive thought process about what was portrayed in the characters and the situations that they were faced with. And as I'm sitting there by myself, these thoughts just kept coming back to my head, and I had to stop myself and ask, why are these voices still speaking to me? And this wasn't anything terrible or raunchy in any way, shape, or form, but yet this sound just keeps replaying, like when you hit a key on a piano and it just resonates. Days later, I have no connection to this thing, but yet it's still speaking to me. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still processing it. It's still bouncing around in my head. And as I started as this was happening, I actually caught myself and asked, why are these voices still speaking to me? Another voice, a different voice, started to speak to me about this subject that we're here speaking about tonight. Because God's wanting us to be knowledgeable, to be able to discern good and evil, to recognize the voices from this world. And regardless of the medium, regardless of the genre, there's a voice that's trying to speak things into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds. Turn with me now to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. God reminded me of the scripture as I was thinking about, you know, what seemed like a mostly innocent way to pass the time. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So now when I compare this movie to what the Bible instructs to allow into our lives, I find myself needing to recalibrate a bit. If take the measure of whatsoever things were true, well, this wasn't a true story, so whatsoever things are honest, well, it's hard to be honest if your story you're telling isn't true. Well, whatsoever things are just, pure, and lovely, well, I can't call this movie pure, just, and lovely necessarily. Did it have any virtue in it? Did it have any praise in it? I don't think so. It was just me wasting time, but yet it spoke to me days later. You see, Hollywood's been studying human nature and testing different stories and techniques of storytelling, all with the mission to embed them in our hearts and minds. It's a science. They've been perfecting this for years and years and years, and they only are getting better at it. Hollywood has purposely engineered its messages and media to tap into our emotions, to root themselves in our inner thoughts, to be able to resonate days later for no reason whatsoever except the fact that we allowed that voice to speak into us. Now, I'm not going to walk away from God because of that movie, but as I was sitting there at my workbench and this voice kept replaying in my head, it occurred to me how profound the effect all these voices can have in our lives. You know, if I think back as a young teen, there are some things I let into my eyes and ears that still haunt me today. Everything has a spirit, that has a voice, and they're all speaking something, and most of them aren't good. So as I realized what was happening, it caused me to stop and want to realign my thoughts in a more productive direction. You know, what if I had watched videos of Lee Stone King on the plane? Like Brother Smith, when he was here, he talked about his grandson, the little guy. That's what they give him at night instead of Disney. They give him Lee Stone King. Because Lee Stone King has a very soft-spoken voice most of the time. Occasionally he gets a little riled up, but it's probably a very good one to go to bed with. What if I had taken that approach? Well, then when we read Philippians 4 and 8, whatsoever things are true, check. Whatsoever things are honest, check. Whatever things are just, check. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. See, whatever we let in, it's going to resonate somewhere in us. And I know we can't live in a constant state of service or you know, feeding the Word of God into ourselves, but the more we feed in, the more that's in there, the less room there is for anything else. Amen. Could it be the more attention we put on God, the more God puts His attention on us? Now, I'm not suggesting we discard every bedtime story because it's not a true story. But I'm definitely suggesting we all become more alert to the voices of this world and the quantity of them in which we allow into our lives. Because as we read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 10, there be so many kinds of voices in this world, and none of them are without significance. And as our lives become so full of other voices, I wonder if the volume of these voices start to drown out the volume of the voice of God in our lives. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 26. See, the born-again believer, God is wanting to be able to speak into our lives and give direction and help us. He didn't just say, great, you've been baptized, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I hope it works out for you. Amen. No, he's given us tools inside of us, tools that we should ever become more proficient in hearing the voice of God speak things into our lives. John chapter 10, verse 26 speaks to this point. It says, but ye believe me not, because ye are not of my sheep. This is Jesus talking to some religious folks. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's comfort, there's protection in knowing the voice of God, in becoming familiar with the voice of God. In fact, if you don't know the voice of God, that's a reason to be fearful. We should be listening for that voice, using the Spirit of God to discern whose voice is really speaking to us. Revelation 2 and 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. But you have to have an ear, and you have to hear. Amen. So as we mature and as we grow in our walk with God, the Spirit of God imparts knowledge to us, giving us the ability to compare spiritual things to spiritual and good versus evil. But here's where it becomes even more dangerous, because as there's many voices who claim to be spiritual, they have an air about them that looks spiritual. They say words that sound spiritual, but in fact, they're evil. Let me again share some of my own experiences. Going back to this music example, more recently, as we appreciate what worship music can do in our lives and what it means when we have that time alone with God or in our car or at our desk or wherever we might be in between, it's great to have something that truly worships God. And what I've started to find probably in the last year or so, that I really have a desire for live worship music, because it used to be just in a studio where they could record it and fix everything and then put out a CD, but now they can actually record it live where it's taking place like in a song service. And now there's something different about that live environment that produces something that's a little bit more, well, it's alive. And so I found myself in the last year or so really having interest in this live worship music. And so that my favorite artist that I used to just have on CD, now I found out through that process that there's actually a whole other collection of some of those artists on YouTube that have all of their whatever recent things on an ongoing basis. And so I'm not limited to just this one album they put out. Now I can have last week and the week before and the week before that live on a continuous basis. And so I got really excited about this idea, because there's this dynamic, spirit-filled experience that came with it. But as I started to then consume that same live music on a visual format that came with the audio, something else came with it. So before, when it was just the sounds and the voices and the music, it was one stream of information, and I felt it. There was something good about it. There was a spiritual nature to it. But as soon as I started to get the visual, there was this new conflict that arose in me. As I started to see the people who actually sang the songs, I started to question, well, what's really going on here? And I actually became, I don't know, frustrated about it or concerned. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I have to understand what's going on here because I feel something, but what I see doesn't connect with what I feel. Popular groups like Jesus Culture, Bethel, they've led the charge. And in some ways, I'm very glad that they have to this dynamic, spirit-filled experience. You know, as I started to question, you know, what's going on here, God, it actually took me back a step. I'll go all the way back to my testimony. When I was a young person, I didn't grow up in this truth. I didn't have an understanding of who Jesus was or that you could feel his presence or that you could speak in tongues. I never heard of that, but I felt the power and presence of God at a very young age in a service where I was just worshiping God in innocence and purity, but no understanding. This happened to me a number of times, and so God isn't limited to manifest himself based on our knowledge or our understanding or even our conformity to the Word of God. He's only limited by our willingness to worship him. And so as we start to exercise this tool of discernment that God has given us, I started to have to process and ask God, you know, why do you anoint worship from people who possess less truth and less holiness than we aspire to? And then I recognized that his willingness to anoint isn't predicated on your obedience or your conformity. It's predicated on your worship. But just because God's willingness to anoint that worship or that music doesn't give us license to then change our ways or our understanding of what the truth is. We don't have license to adopt whatever popular Christianity produces in this world. You know, as I started to pray about it, I started to review some of those worship videos, and I realized, you know what? I know a little bit about video production and editing. I'm not a professional, but I dabble. And the shots and the angles that they have, they aren't just there by accident. These are well-produced videos. They look like they're free and live and just happening kind of in the moment, but there's no way you get those kind of shots and angles and lighting in the moment. It will never happen. There's a plan that's been put forth long before you saw that video on YouTube that felt like it was just a live, spontaneous thing. And then as I prayed about it, I started to consider the fact these are professional musicians whose only job is putting on these shows, and they're putting on a show. Now, there is a moment and a spirit-filled nature to it, especially in their experience, but when the camera pans for just a moment to see the audience, most of the people in the room are not having that same experience, right? Not like we experienced here today. The world is putting on a show, and when they start to put on a show and we start to mingle truth with something else, that's when it becomes dangerous. Now, I don't want to take away from their experience, and I don't want to take away the experience that I have listening to their music, but I do want to take away the visual stream of information from that scenario. And so while I appreciate what's going on, I found a workaround. I just record the audio on my computer and play music tracks separate of the video, and since they put it on YouTube, it's open license. I don't think I'm in conflict of any copyright. But the practical application here is we have to be careful what we let in. Because as I started to move from just an audio to a visual, there's new conflict that started to arise. A question in my head, well, why? And why not? Is it really important for all these things, or is it not? Because there's voices that come with everything in this world, and none of them are insignificant. Now, I suppose you could take a hard line here and just say, well, I'm just going to exclude that altogether. And that would be a fair choice. You know, God doesn't need anyone to produce music for you to have a worship time with him. But if we then consider what Luke chapter 9, verse 49 says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he falleth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Here's the bottom line. Just because they are for us doesn't mean that gives us license to follow men's doctrine or popular culture. And God has given us the power of discernment between good and evil so that we will not fall prey to the voices of this world. But if you look around Christianity and even Pentecost, It's being influenced by this culture, popular culture, even Christianity today. But it's not a small thing to play church, and for those who put on a show or pretend to speak as a prophet, they're playing with fire. Turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Acts chapter 19 tells the story of some pretend Pentecostals. Acts 19 and 13 says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And you don't want to enter a fight if you don't know how to use the weapons of spiritual warfare. And while YouTube is full of evil, it does have a little good mixed in there. That same technology, that same platform I can use to hear spirit-filled worship, I can also use to listen to sermons from mighty men of God, like Reverend Raymond Woodward or Lee Stone King. And yes, YouTube is even preaching the truth tonight if you tune into the right channel. But on that very same platform, every other voice known to religion, and if you want to hear some far-out stories and theories or prophetic conspiracies, they're out there for anyone to consume. And so just as you finish that meal from Jeff Arnold, YouTube suggests that you check out Joel Osteen or whatever popular message is out there, because you must like things that have to do with Christianity. So here's some other ones that you might be interested in. They're trending right now. Chances are, if they're trending right now, they're not for me and they're not for you. You know, it's funny, as it recommends Joel Osteen, then you can click on Joel Osteen and you'll see just as many videos describing why Joel Osteen is the Antichrist. So whatever you want to consume, it's out there in as much quantity as you want to consume it, but I would advise you avoid it altogether, because there's many voices out there, and none of them are insignificant. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, and starting in verse 1. Here's the mandate we have for tonight. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, but because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the easiest test, the simplest test, is does this individual, this voice that's speaking, do they know who Jesus is? Do they know that Jesus is the one true God? That there is none other but Jesus, and that he was and is and will be? He was the Word. There is none other. Most of the world doesn't understand that. Most of them will say, yeah, he's something, but they don't understand that he's the one true God. If they don't know who Jesus is, then turn away and reject it immediately. Because only the true sheep of God can hear the voice of God. And how can you hear the voice of God except you know who Jesus is? Amen. And the notion of we are what we eat is true spiritually as it is physically. You know, before YouTube, space and time put distance between us so that I wouldn't even hear or have anything to do with whatever thoughts and things go on in your mind, unless we came in contact. And so exchange of information was very limited. But today you can be connected with every voice from every dark place from all over the earth. Amen. And what's worse, it's easy to hide behind the web and disseminate false doctrine. And the spirit of this world knows how to put on a good show. It knows how to mix in just enough truth into a message to cause us to lower our guard. Well, it sounds right what they're saying, but there's something wrong. I can't quite put my finger on it. But if we allow the misspoken word of God to enter in, if we allow these voices from those who don't even know who Jesus really is, we put ourselves at risk, because somewhere along the way we start to ask ourselves, what really is truth? It's so subtle. Oh, it sounds like a good message. It's based on the Bible. They read Scripture. And they might not have even misquoted Scripture, but do they know who Jesus is? Do they know the power of the Holy Ghost? Do they know that you must be born again in water and of spirit? Chances are they do not. There are those who would even try to convince us that we're missing books of the Bible, and or that the King James Version is a misinterpretation, but the Bible tells us from such turn away.
Right.
Turn to Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 18. You know, actually, this story applies to me. There was a man who I had met, and I was trying to witness to him and trying to find a way to set up a Bible study or find a way to have, you know, a deeper conversation. And he knew the Bible, but he also knew all these other books of the Bible and all this other information. And so as in my good intentions, I said, okay, well, tell me what you know and help me understand what your perspective is, because I want to be able to share my perspective. And like I was trying to build a bridge. But as I tried to build a bridge, he started to speak things. And I'm trying to collect them so I can set up a defense and help him understand and, you know, untangle some of this mess. And as I did, I just got sucked in deeper. And as I'm trying to understand all this craziness that he's speaking of, I get deeper and deeper, and I start to question. And then we finally set up a day that we were supposed to meet so that we could have this conversation. And he had been sending me all sorts of information. A lot of it I didn't even bother clicking on. But that day, he had some weird situation that prevented him from being there on time. And then by the time he got there, I had another emergency that I had to attend to. And so I'm sorry, I got to go. And looking back now, I can see God was just saying, nope, we're cutting off these voices. Because even for any one of us, we can be susceptible to, even with good intentions, to start to wonder, well, what is this all about? And question. And next thing you know, there's this new voice speaking in our heads that wasn't there before. Revelation 22 and 18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man or woman shall add anything, any add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written of this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, which he testify these things, saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." As I tried to build a bridge with this individual, with good intentions, there was something that started to come back that wasn't good. It was evil. And what really hurt me, or hurt's not the right word, but troubled me, was the little bit of exposure that this individual had and their family had. God started to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost to them. He started to transform situations in their lives that couldn't be touched any other way. But yet he had this revelation that there was things that were missing, and it's a conspiracy theory, and the list went on and on and on and on. He had opened himself to so many voices. He was so confused. There was no undoing. And now that these voices had embedded themselves in him, it was his mission to embed them in other people. And so God is not going to allow that to happen. Not in the Church of the Living God. So tonight, lastly, as the musicians come, I want to leave you with one last thought. You know, tonight we talk mostly about what not to do as it relates to these voices that are in the world. And it would be a terrible thing if we didn't also share what to do in order to grow our ability to discern good versus evil. We'll go back to the beginning. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God isn't holding back truth from us or understanding. He's wanting to just instill it in us as much as we're willing to accept. But it takes a commitment. It takes time. It takes effort on our part. It goes on to say, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So if there's words that we speak that aren't in man's wisdom, and it's the Holy Ghost that's teaching, what words do you think it is it's referring to? I'd say we're talking about the gift of tongues, speaking not in man's words or with man's wisdom, but as the Holy Ghost speaks through us. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, being taught wisdom. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, God's put this Holy Ghost inside of us. He's given us this gift. But if the gift stops at the first time we had that experience, then it doesn't have this, we don't grow in our ability to discern good versus evil. An example is the kids I meet at junior camp every year, as they come into the dorm, I greet them and I'm taking inventory. Hey, good to meet you. Have you had that experience of speaking in other tongues? And a lot of them have, and they say yes. And so my next question is, well, when was the last time? Well, I don't remember. It was so long ago, I can't tell you. Well, would you like to have that experience again this week? Yeah, I would. Well, God wants you to have that experience again and again and again. You see, it's not about a one-time, I had this utterance. It's about an ongoing. Because as we allow God to speak through us, God's instilling things in us that we can't receive any other way. Romans 8 and 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know when my appetite for the old music comes back? When I don't pray as much. When I don't exercise the gift that God's put inside of me. He's given us so many tools. Overcoming power. I remember when I first came into church, there was a man, he gave me some really good advice. He said, Michael, if you can do one thing, be faithful to church. Because there are going to be times when your insides don't match your outsides, and you're going to need to pull on strength from the rest of this body. And he was right. If it wasn't for a body, if it wasn't for a commitment and some faithfulness, I couldn't do this without you. I wouldn't be here tonight. But then as we mature, we go past just faithfulness and we start to invest time in a relationship that goes beyond just attending services. And it's like, I think Brother Jansen said last Sunday night, you know, we can't go out into a world and reach the lost if we haven't first met with God and had that intimate time one-on-one. This world is filled with voices. They're all trying to get our attention, consume our thoughts. And God's given us the ability to divide the good from the evil, but we won't have that ability if we don't stay connected with Him, if we don't let that Holy Ghost speak through us. And so tonight as we stand, If you're struggling with the spirit of this world in any shape or form, we all do at some level. You might want to take inventory tonight of what voices are in your life. Whether they come through music or media or what seems like good intentions. Our God has given us an overcoming power and an ability, but we have to exercise it in order to gain the benefits. And so tonight, if you're here, it's because God is saying you're in a place of strong meat. I want to give you the power to discern good from evil, and I want to give you a better capacity than you had last year or the year before. Ever growing, ever maturing. And so as we open up this altar, if you have the Holy Ghost, you've got the best tool, the best equipment to grow that capacity tonight. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's a promise for you. Thank you, Jesus.